Yeah, and that's the magic of the format system, which is pretty much what we were all using. So let me give you an overview of the process that we just used. Because we're going to want to use this process in other things that we do today. And you could choose to use the same thing you just presented on or something different, but here's the overview of the process. So the format system simply says, once again, that some people are why people, and they really need to know why they're learning something. Some people, and by the way, if you don't give enough why up front, the why people will shut down. Some people are what people. They don't care why, they just want the what. They want the content information. They want to sit there and let it pour in, right? Those are the what people. Then we've got the how people. How people are the people that got to know how to do something. They want to get their hands on it, and they want to start practicing with it. I don't care about the why. I don't care about the what. Just get me in an exercise. I want to start using this. I want to know how it's done. And then you've got the what if people. And the what if people are those people that say, hey, what can I do with this? What are other applications that I can use this for? Is this applicable? Could I use this in a sales environment? Could I use this in management? Could I use this in education? Could I use this? Can this be used with children? So the what if people are always saying, what if? Or what would? Or they're also the people that say, well, what would happen if this came up? Like, okay, well, I see you did this here, but what would happen if you were faced with this? Or what would happen if you were faced with that? Or how would I use it in that instance? This is in chapter 4. 416 is the page it's on. Now, I got to tell you that this one piece, I didn't fully grasp this when I was in my master practitioner training. I actually grasped it later. I went through it, and I kind of got it, and I used the process. But it was later when I actually grasped it. Didn't come till trainer's training for me. But once I got this, this gave me the comfort to stand up and speak about anything, anytime, any place. Because I knew at that point that no matter what I was talking about, all I had to do was cycle through this, and I could talk forever. And I would get my point across to the most amount of people. This is one reason why I don't need to use notes all that much. I don't use notes much at all. Virtually never do I use notes. And this is one of the reasons why I don't, because I know how to structure the information. So if somebody says, hey, Chris, you're going to talk about rapport, then I say, well, let me tell you why you'd want to know a little bit about rapport. Yeah, that's the why. Now, sometimes I'll give a little what up front, little what, so they know what I'm about to speak about. So I'll say, I'd like to talk to you about rapport. How would you like a way to be able to create an instantaneous connection with anybody just like that, anytime you choose? Yeah. To almost where this is that they knew you before so that your information would go right in without much conscious resistance. Would that be a value to you? That's all the why. Yeah, so that's your hook. By the way, if you're writing press copy, or if you're writing copy for a presentation, like if you want to get a presentation in some place or something, if you're putting together something that's really going to hook somebody, this is the same way in written materials. You want to grab them with the why in the first couple sentences. You want to hook in. Yeah?
You
gave a little what up front. Today I'm going to share with you a little of this. And then you went right into your why. You did it fine. So sometimes I'll give a little what up front so they know what we're about to talk about, and then I'll go into the why. Not always. Sometimes I'll start right with the why. But sometimes I'll give a little what. That way at least they're like, okay. So a little what up there, then why, what, how, what, if. The what is the content. Rapport, based on a great study out of the University of Pennsylvania, 1970, Robert Birdwhistle. Birdwhistle and Mehrabian were big researchers in the field of interpersonal communication, and actually Birdwhistle had a study that was entitled Kinesics in Context. The study's often misquoted, as is Birdwhistle's name. Sometimes he's called, I just misquoted his name. His name is Ray L. Birdwhistle. A lot of people will call him Robert Birdwhistle. His name is Ray L. Birdwhistle. And he wrote the book, and he did the study Kinesics in Context. And what he said was that approximately only 7% of the meaning of our communication is transmitted through the words, where actually 38% of the meaning of the communication is tonality, and 55% is communicated through the physiology. So what that means for us in the NLP is if we want to create an instantaneous connection, because people who like each other tend to like each other, if we want to, and people who like each other tend to congregate in groups and so on and so forth, if we want to create that instantaneous connection with somebody, so it's almost as if they've known us before, we want to become like them in those, in the respects that are most outside of their conscious awareness, yet still communicate the most. And we can do that by becoming like them in terms of their physiology and their tonality, because those are most outside of conscious awareness, yet make the most impact in terms of our communication. So what I'm talking about is matching and mirroring. How do you, that's the what. How do you do matching and mirroring? Well, what you do is you'd sit in front of somebody and you'd match and mirror their external physiology. You could match and mirror the angle of the spine, the head tilt from one side to another. You could match the rate of blinking, the rate of breathing, the location of the breathing. All of these things are things that we can match and mirror. So that's how you do it. So let's do an exercise. We're going to do an exercise on rapport. I want you to match and mirror for five minutes, and then notice what happens. Notice how you knew you had rapport when you do. Come on back. Good. How'd that exercise go? What questions do you have? What do I need to know? What'd you find out? That's my what if section. Yeah. And I can go through any type of content information and teaching and just cycle through this. And this gave me a tremendous amount of confidence in any of the teaching that I'm doing. So in some of the exercises that we're about to go into, we're going to utilize the format system again. You can use the same presentation you just did, which could be fun. Or something different. I'm okay. So Doug, you may want to start to say, what can I teach? Something that I know a lot about that I can put into this system. Here's the next thing of public speaking. One of the reasons why people get scared when they say that public speaking is the number one fear for a lot of people. The number one fear. Not even death. Wait, you know what that tells us? Here, Jerry Seinfeld said it best. You ever hear what Jerry Seinfeld said? He said, that means that most people would rather be the man in the box than the man giving the eulogy. That's scary. Right? So, and one of the reasons why people have a concern of that is because they don't own the material. And that's one of the first things that we talk about is owning the material. You want to own the material so much so that it's yours. It's yours. It's your life experience. That's why it's easy for Connie to talk about making eggs. That's why it's easy for Cynthia to talk about making jewelry. It's their experience. That's why it's easy for John to tell you about how to go into a foreign country. This is what they know. They own it. That we can speak, when we speak from what it is that we are, that all of our nervousness goes away, or much of it. And there's other ways to get rid of it as well. Yeah, absolutely. And you know what's interesting, too, is people will always say, well, I have a fear of public speaking. No, they don't. Oftentimes, they just, you give them a technical manual and they say, go present on this. It's like, this isn't me. This isn't mine. That's why one of the best things that we can do is start with stories of personal experience. Whenever I start a seminar, I'll always start with, I say, well, let me tell you a story. About 6 years ago, I was traveling down the road, traveling to San Diego. The light came on in the dashboard of my car. I'll often start with a story like that because it's the easiest way to start, because I know that nobody knows my story like I know my story. And the more you own it, the more it comes from your experience, the more it comes from what you've done, the more easy it's going to come, it's going to flow from you. So, yeah. Now, when you can work that into your interpersonal communications, that's part of where magic becomes. That's why I'm thrilled to see people that come through the trainings and see the transformation that occurs. And see how much power comes from every individual, because once they're able to present this stuff, they're able to present it with who they are. Not who I am, not who somebody else is. Using all the tools that we've got, they're able to present it with magic. And I'm amazed. I never cease to be amazed. And this is the tip of the iceberg in terms of where we're going with this, because there's a lot more that we could do, but this is a nice place to start, because it really gives you a feeling of congruency on your feet in terms of being able to get a message across and get your idea across and affect the most in terms of affecting people and getting through to them. So here's what we're thinking of. Here's the next step. Here's the next step that I want to build on this, because we're just building step on step on step on step.